Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
Very good. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So,
because great performance. I mean,
is everything
it's horrible. I mean, but it's horrible too.
But it's also everything in public.
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
So, a professor from Yale heard about him and invited him to come to a conference that they were having. And they talked, and they decided they were going to do some tests to see what's going on. So basically, he shows it empirically happening, and they test it, and they actually find something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor increasing with exercise.
Ah.
And so,
brain-derived neurotrophic factor. All right.
Yes. So this is increasing with exercise.
And where do they get that? I mean, they take it out of some fluid?
Yale studies. You can look it up.
Okay, I will.
The details are all listed
there. I just wonder where it's produced.
I mean,
if they say it's in the brain.
It's in the blood. So it's crossing the blood-brain barrier and going to the brain. So they're finding that the reason exercise is actually doing it is because it's creating this thing called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which actually regenerates brain cells. And so
Makes sense, this
concept is translating into a bigger field that, yes, if you move and you exercise, you'll actually be smarter than the average bear, right, Yogi?
Right.
And it could help with some of these dementias and Alzheimer's that are going on.
Right. All right. Cool.
So Spark is the big one. That's the big anchor to that. So now you take that to Z-Health, and what Z-Health tells you is the brain is fed from the back forward.
Mm-hmm.
So if
this is actually the circulatory process
system.
Okay.
And if you increase circulation to the brain, you increase nutrients to the brain, you increase flushing of toxins from the brain, and you increase activation to the brain.
Right.
Cerebellum sits in the back, so if you move,
so that's
if
the start
you move,
of it?
Yes, and blood and flow increases, and then increases.
And that's
the
arterial
the
flow
the
then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So arterial flow, I mean, we've got the vertebral artery, which is 40% of the blood flow, and then carotid 60%.
Right.
So I'd have to review that, the arterial system to see, okay, where is it? Yeah, that makes sense, though.
So just their view is blood flow starts in the back and moves forward.
All
so
right.
if you move, you increase blood flow to the posterior portion of the brain,
right.
and you will start to increase it to the rest of the brain.
Okay, interesting.
And their whole concept is based on cortex mapping.
Mm-hmm.
That when we hurt ourselves, we get actually amnesia because of the splinting, because of the lack of movement. We are a use-it-or-move society.
Yeah.
And so he designed a bunch of things basically about martial art, tai chi, joint mobility exercises to increase proprioceptive awareness because your joints have the highest amount of neuroreceptors in it.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece of his class...
Which kind of neuroreceptors?
All of them are in joints or all higher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So GTO, spindle cells, Ruffini, Pacini cells, all of those are higher in joints.
It's interesting because like in acupuncture, some of the primary, most important points are at the joints.
Mm-hmm.
The pivotal points are there because if you don't have the joint mobility, also you don't get the movement of energy, electromagnetic flow gets stagnated and things screw up.
So
yeah, very, very consistent. Interesting, yeah.
Very consistent.
Yeah.
The second thing he looked in was balance.
Mm-hmm.
So the other leading cause of death is breaking your hip, right?
Exactly.
So you fall down, and then if you break your hip and you stop moving, and then the whole downward
slide, and you get infections in the hospital, whatever.
Right, yes. Lack of movement, dementia, doesn't know what's causing one or the other.
So, this is the Yale guy or the Spark guy?
This is Z-Health.
Z-Health, okay, all right.
Yes,
all right.
It's Dr. Cobb. So he's looking at... what is actually balance training? What is actually our proprioceptive driven by and controlled by?
Mm-hmm.
And in going through all the research, he actually deduced it's our vision is actually what set tone for our balance and our proprioception.
Hmm.
It is the owner, the leader of it, followed by our vestibular system, followed by our peripheral system.
All right. I mean, it certainly makes sense as far as sailing and stuff if people are like getting... nausea and stuff, you make them look off in the distance, you get up in air and all that, otherwise they're going to be down throwing up forever.
Right.
So you got to get the eyes engaged, like look in the distance, don't look here, look off in the distance. Yeah.
So he then developed a visual vestibular proprioceptive movement program and prioritize vision to everything.
All right.
And
that's interesting.
Uses also to reduce pain as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he said 20/20 vision is only part of it.
Yeah.
And it's this much.
Uh-huh.
It's distance vision. It's being able to focus. It's being able to track. It's being able to have something converge on you. It's being able to read what's going on next to you movement-wise. These are all qualities of vision that we don't train as we get older.
Fascinating.
And so he developed a system for evaluation for that and training all of that, which are based off of, you know, hundreds of books, basically. And he gives a syllabus for all those books that, you know, are recommended for people who are engaged in that to read and learn more. And basically our Western view of balance, he said, is very skewed. That we think that when we make things more difficult, we're actually helping someone. And actually helping someone is actually making them more secure.
And that's a good thing?
Yeah. Because it reduces fear. When there's fear in your body, you don't move well.
And is that a function of like brainstem
blockage
or something?
It's limbic system.
Yeah.
Limbic, the amygdala.
Right.
So it's like what's winding up,
what's filtering through there.
And how you're interpreting it. You're interpreting from an emotional space.
Mm.
And my previous experiences, this is scary, so we're shutting down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't even let it get to the higher end of it because it's like it's just reflex. It's like you don't get to do that. Because last time we did this, bad things happened.
Right.
Yeah. So all of our physical training now is generated around movement that increases the person's ability to move comfortably, vision, vestibular, or having a higher processing for us, and moving away from getting your ass kicked, that actually movement is good. The studies that I saw 20
movement years, away from getting your ass kicked.
High impact classes, CrossFit's having to modify what they're doing. Because
what do you mean by getting your ass kicked?
This most people want to go to a trainer.
Like, if like someone like comes to beat you up, then you can like.
No, it's more like puking after a workout.
Oh, good job,
Don. You like give me a good workout today, right? No, what we measure now good workouts is actually consistent improvement.
Uh huh.
So you came in and I had you step up on a box and you fell off.
Right.
And 6 weeks later, you're stepping up and off a box in a coordinated fashion, holding a weight. Progress.
Exactly. All right.
Yeah. You were doing lunges.
And this is your own thing, or this is Z-Health based?
This is Z-Health blended into the rest of the work that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
the Lawson method.
It's not necessarily the Lawson method. It's more...
oh, come on.
No, really. Yeah. It's like...
I mean, it's an integration of a lot of things.
It's an integration of Carrick's work, which is all brain-based work. It's an integration of Z-Health. It's an integration of dynamic movement, primal movement type of activities, all that's out there. We're just a facility that's sitting or trying to sit at the forefront of all of that and saying metabolics is important, but neurology wins. Your brain always wins. Always.
Right.
Hormonally, your brain wins. It always does. Mm-hmm. So is your brain interpreting the information correctly so your peripheral can do it?
Mm.
It's amazing when you start looking at it that way. And some kids come in and work with us, and you watch how disconnected their bodies are.
Mm.
And you watch how other kids are connected and do a push-up well, a pull-up well. And I'm like, he's kicking ass on your football team, isn't he? And he goes, yeah, how did you know? Because it's like you just like saw. No, it's about the integrative coordination ability that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was at a Neurologic Relief Center Technique seminar out in Wichita, Salina, 2 weekends ago. And there was someone who was making a comment about football players, and I think it was the guy who's the quarterback of the Colts who left, Peyton Manning. And he was saying he got hit, and if you notice, I mean, he was doing this, and he turned like that, and he got hit. And after that, he was like slow functioning, and it took him forever. I mean, he spent so much money to actually get back to be able to do what he was doing.
Yeah.
But this kind of, it was like a torquing of the meninges, and the brain just like got screwed up, so he wasn't getting the oxygen, and he just couldn't think right. He wasn't coordinated right.
Yeah.
And he did tons of stuff, physical therapy, all these other things, to get back in the game so he could actually be a professional again.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
that kind of thing. You're exactly pointing out that you can see that at an early age.
Yeah, it's about the edge. It's like he's probably still at the point where he says he's slow, an athlete that would destroy you.
Yeah.
Right? But at this
compared
piece
to him,
of the game,
yeah.
it's like he doesn't have... that, you know, ability to lose 1%.
Right, yeah, yeah.
1% means you get hit more.
Right. As a quarterback, that's no good.
So we're incorporating these concepts of movement stimulates brain, gets blood flow going, that joint movement's important, that visual and vestibular movements, training is extremely important. And then on top of that, I'm doing another technique called proprioceptive deep tendon reflex.
Okay.
It was developed by an orthopedic surgeon in Guadalajara, and he does a bunch of microsurgeries, knee replacement, spinal, you know, reconstructions and all that. And for him, he was drawn to this place. It's like, okay, this person comes in, he has a back problem, he has a bulging disc, but in order for me to do surgery on him, I need a drill, a saw, I need two things to leverage things apart with, and, you know, all these basically carpentry tools in order to fix somebody. He goes, if they were falling apart and that was the problem, shouldn't it be like, I just, my fingers, right? He goes, no, everything's intact. So he goes, what is the other challenge then? He says, it's sensory information. And he goes, okay, we have multiple sensory information inputs. We have neothalamic, paleothalamic pain pathways in our body. We have fascial information that's given to us. We have vibration, pressure, length tension. All of these things are actually measured by a proprioceptor, and he thought that they were dysfunctional. So he went and studied all of Carrick's work and got a degree.
Carrick Institute?
Yeah, yeah. He got a degree from Carrick.
Texas.
In the neurology.
Yeah, yeah.
He then went and got a degree and a diplomat, a master's degree in applied kinesiology. And because Carrick opened with the ICAK. Yeah. And so he started muscle
testing.
And
you've done that too?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't done all the Carrick work. I've done some of it.
And quantum neurology stuff you did? You know that?
No, the guy down in LA, Dr. Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I haven't done his work. Some of my friends have.
Yeah.
His is very tool intensive. You have to have a laser. You have to have all these tools that he sells you for thousands of dollars. And we've developed a lot of very simple ways to make these assessments, challenging the system, see how the system changes instead of, you know, well, no, it's important because there's these two sort of divergent cultures that are increasing. It's like, what is your diagnostic tool? And if you can't diagnose it, you can't use a code to bill for it.
Right.
And then there's all this other one. It's like, well, the practical nature of being with it, it's like I'm on the floor at a basketball game for the Warriors, and I want to fix something
on
my client. No.
Oh, okay.
No, but in the example, I want to fix something my client. I can't drive him up to the hospital and do a diagnostic and do that. How do I do this in real time and space?
Exactly.
And that's why I kind of shied away from the Carrick, because you have to have immense understanding of what's going on in neurology, and a lot of his immense understanding is how to do workarounds. Like when something is broken, how do you work around it to get function back?
Right.
Which
is a lot of the vestibular exercise and all that kind of thing.
It is, and they're making specific pathway changes for people who have dementia and Parkinson's and all these things. We're not working at that level. We're working at a much sooner level where I can bring you back to optimal before you start to degrade.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Right? So it's like we can get all these systems back online before we let them go
now. Before they're so degraded that you start picking up stuff with certain diagnostic tools.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so it's all this, what can you do? Okay, you have this problem. How can you stay here for the next 20 years and not progress? And some people, that's fantastic. And how can you, I'm identifying this now, you're 40 years old, that if you actually take this nutritional supplement, that if you actually start to do some of this neuro work and you actually start working out and getting blood flow, we can actually, over the next 7 years, change your neurology.
Right.
And we have discussions about...
And that's sort of like the timeline, the 7 year.
So... Every cell in your body basically turns over every 7 years.
Exactly.
And it's the nerves that take 7 years. It's the bone that takes 2 years. Right. Everything else takes about 18 months.
Right. Or red blood cells every...
6 months.
Yeah.
3 months. You know, 90 depending days, on whatever. What
you're talking depending about. On the individual.
So
yeah.
You can make a lot of shifts and changes in people very quickly in 3 to 6 months. If they give you 2 years, you can make structural changes in them. If they give you 7, you can make brain changes in them.
Got it.
And they just have to realize the timelines that they're on.
Exactly. That makes total sense.
And we have such an impatient society that it's like, oh, I want my pain to go away today.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, how long does your pain take to get here? Well, I noticed it first about 5 years ago. And it's like, and you want me to fix it in 55 minutes. Right. So I have to reframe people. It's like, okay, give me 1 month for every year. Does that sound reasonable?
That's fast.
Right.
Actually,
If I can reduce your pain 50% or increase your range of motion, and I can usually do it much faster, but, you know, I'm taught by this one guy.
It's exceed expectations.
Sell low and, exceed high.
You never know, yeah.
So I'm looking at a multi-pronged approach. You need to move to increase blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do things that have direct input into your brain to cause change, which are visual and vestibular.
Uh-huh.
So color and sound is very high on the scope for change. Uh-huh. They're very primal for us, for like seeing movement, for, you know, attack, something
exactly,
attacking
or
us, all that,
or, whatever,
or hearing something, and that triggers
sex,
for us.
Whatever.
Yes.
Oh. Procreate.
Yes, and males are more visually driven than females.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, NLP will certainly say that the majority of people are visually oriented, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the amount of information that your brain is filtering out is phenomenal.
Oh, has to.
The 7 gigabytes a second that it's taking in. And it's like, I tell people to pause. Think about 7 gigabytes per second your eyes are taking in, and you are filtering an immense portion of that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's cultural and genetic and whatever, because...
Well, your brain just can't process
exactly.
that much.
Exactly, I know.
So it's got to go normal. Cars parked here are all normal,
right.
Non-threat.
Right, exactly.
So you can walk down and not even know that you walk by a Tesla and two Porsches and a Mercedes, right? You have to stop and go.
All of which are
my clients.
Your clients.
So we're trying to work on this broad spectrum, you know, come at you at multiple points.
Uh-huh.
And so I dissect fitness into multiple points. You have... absolute strength, endurance, you know, strength, stability. Mm. You have length, tension, relationships. You have cardiovascular fitness. You have neurocoordinative fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things tie in together to create movement for you.
Right.
So if any of those are lacking behind, then that's what's going to be dragging you behind.
Mm.
So you can have extreme metabolics. It's like, yeah, but I can run a 5-minute mile. Yeah, but you run like one of your wheels is broken. I mean, can you imagine what you would run like if I fixed that wheel?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And it's the neurology of the coordination of that limb that you hurt 7 years ago snowboarding is what's holding you back.
Right. And creating extra effort.
Correct.
In the whole process. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's the fear of your body going into this other movement spot that's actually putting a brake on you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear about, you know, the 80-year-old grandma who lifted a car.
Right.
So we have great innate strength in us already.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what they don't tell you is the next day she's in the hospital with 2 broken ribs and a fractured femur because she exceeded the capacity of what she could do. And so we actually have a rate limiter built into our brain. It's called inhibition of the inhibition. And so when we train, we learn to take those breaks off.
All right. Uh-huh. Interesting. So removing the inhibition... of the inhibition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you have an inhibition, you have a rate limiter that stops you from going more than 5 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
And by training, you tell your body, okay, that's safe and comfortable, so I will reset that rate limiter
to
6 miles an hour.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
And then, okay, nothing bad has happened now, and you want to go a little faster, it's like, I'll give you a little bit more.
Right.
But once something bad happens, it's like, whoa, fear steps in and says, we need to slow
this
whole process
down. Reset, yeah.
And that actually is one of the things that happens with aging.
Mm.
Is people have compounded injuries, reducing their proprioceptive awareness that is causing them not to move well anymore, that's affecting their brain.
Mm.
And so if we can train you at the right level, and sometimes that's very slow, that your body goes, this is cool again, and we can start pulling those limitations off, you can start moving again, causing blood flow to your brain, causing brain-derived neurotrophic factor to be released, to work with things like ginkgo and microcirculation, to work with things like berries and chocolate and vitamin D and turmeric and all of those things that actually reduce inflammation in the body, which is, you know, brain inflammation as well, because they pass through the blood-brain barrier.
Yeah.
How can you bring down your whole inflammatory load in the body? So it's like looking at these broad spectrum things, you know, green tea. One researcher I was reading about with green tea said if there was one thing that he could do for himself and he only had to choose one, it would be drink 6 cups of green tea a day. It has that profound effect on your brain, health, inflammation, everything. Dr. Sheldon.
If you're interested in finding out more about how you or your relatives can avoid dementia, buy the book, Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, 7 Key Memory Care Actions to Avoid Alzheimer's and Successfully Keep Your Brain Safe, Sharp, and Sexy into the Future, by going to OutsmartingDementia.com. That's OutsmartingDementia.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Sordian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to TheRedwoodClinic.com. Thank you.